Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Matt Williamson here. Another crazy day of football yesterday, capped off by an unbelievable Sunday night game. You've reached the Locked On NFL podcast. We're brought to you by BetDSI today. I'll tell you more about them later. Another new sponsor. As you can tell by these sponsorships, the Locked On Network and this podcast, and you know, specifically, is growing by leaps and bounds. I want to thank you guys for spreading the word, leaving good feedback on iTunes, all the downloads on multiple devices, and all those great things you do. I'm Matt Williamson, at Williamson NFL. Drop me a line anytime you want. But let's just get into that game. I mean, holy smokes. First of all, let's have the argument of Seahawks. We're talking about Seahawks at Arizona, obviously. Was that good football or bad football? And I think this fantasy-driven community, and by the reactions on Twitter last night, that was a horrible game. What's the NFL doing putting that stuff on prime time? What a mess. The product gets worse and worse. I didn't see it that way at all, with the exception of the special teams. Obviously, you can't condone all the missed kicks and the craziness on special teams. That was poor football. That's something that has plagued the Cardinals for a while now. And in the end, it was a deal breaker. But a great defensive slugfest, to me, is great football. And both these teams played out of their mind on one side of the ball. And yeah, they were bad on offense, but they're, you know, that's not, I mean, it was out of their hands. I mean, it was utter domination up front. Defense, to me, is great football. And, you know, the block kick, I mean, I don't even know where to go with the special teams, is unbelievable. So what do we got here? I'm just going to scan through my notes and a couple things that stood out. But I don't know that I have much more to add on this game if you saw it. If you didn't, I almost don't want to spoil it for you. You should almost just go back and watch every snap and how it went down and overtime, and it was almost like, here, you take it. No, you take it. No, you know, both offenses knew they couldn't do anything. And I was equating it to like Sandy Koufax versus Bob Gibson in their prime. Obviously those guys are before my time, but just elite pitchers going at it. And anytime you could get to first base was like, wow, you know, or, you know, we're just going to run David Johnson into the wall over and over and over, and eventually we'll hope to wear them down. And they totally dominated, you know, time of possession. And he played well. He didn't break out, but, you know, he was just a battering ram. So anyways, clearly these are two of the best defenses in the league. Speaking of time of possession, Arizona had the ball for about 22 minutes in the first half. You know, that's pretty darn impressive. Seattle never goes away, though. I mean, that's a Pete Carroll coach team. Is they never go away. They're never going to stop. I loved his energy on the sidelines. I felt like that was huge for them. You know, not being there, but still, obviously, it was inspirational and believed in them and realized it could come down to one game, you know, one play, and it kind of did. Well, a couple of them. You know, the field goal, the chip shot field goal that ganks off the goalpost. Holy cow. It looked like Peterson was following Baldwin quite a bit, even in the slot, which is sort of rare for Peterson, but he does it and he's capable. And I mean, when you talk about, like, you know, the X's and O's and who played well and who didn't, everyone on defense played well, everyone on offense played bad. I mean, basically, I mean, it's kind of what happened. I mean, there was a couple standouts, I thought. I thought, you know, Wagner with his the block kick and hurdling the center, and, you know, which should have been called or not. I think Earl Thomas started the season slow, and he's really rounding back into shape of being an elite player. Frank Clark's the next great Seattle defensive player. And Averill was probably the best of all. He was phenomenal. again, everyone out that was in defense looked great in this game. I thought Calais Campbell was very, very good again. He's been a stud. And Chandler Jones has been just a phenomenal addition for the Cards. He's been great. Absolute difference maker. You know, we're going to talk about New England here in a little, and I think the Pats could use him. I understand why they moved him, but boy, he would be very helpful for sure. Thought Wilson threw the ball okay. Got it out quick. Obviously, not much verticality. No faith in the line. He's clearly not running like he would have. You know, like a healthy, spry, younger Russell Wilson. Not that he's gotten old, but I think that would have come up big. You know, I think that that was something in their toolbox that's generally there that they couldn't use. He couldn't use. You know, play breaks down and scamper for 12. You just didn't see that. The right side of the Cards offensive line in particular was really bad. And Palmer, I saw the stats today, was just horrible when pressured. And that's starting to become more and more of a trend with him. Something certainly to worry about. Not that their line's terrible, but you know, it's something that's a difference between him this year and last year. It was really all David Johnson on that side of the ball. A lot of flags. But you would expect that, you know, especially on the offensive players holding when you get beat and those type of things. You know, even some, you know, offensive pass interference calls. You know, Seattle's best drives of the night, though, were in overtime. You know, and they got Graham involved. And that was, you know, he's been a focal point of the passing game. It took a long time to get him involved. Obviously, the Cardinals had things to do with that. You know, at one point in overtime, there's the big play by J.J. Nelson. Sherman kind of stumbled on it. And it's like, okay, Cards won. No, he hits the upright. Just, I mean, and that was just back and forth. It was crazy. It was really, I think this is the best rivalry in the league. Insanely bad special teams. Insanely good defense. What more can you say? I mean, I'm excited for these teams to play again. But I'm excited for BetDSI. Like I said, they are our new sponsor. Our promo code for BetDSI is NFL10. I urge you to use that, and I'll tell you why. Do you love football? Obviously, you love football, or you're not listening. You know, you wouldn't listen to my babble every day if you wouldn't love football. Are you ready to get into the action? If so, check out BetDSI.com. They've been in business for over 20 years. They're a top-rated business. They're safe. I'm going to get my buddies involved and get some feedback for you of what they think of it, but I've heard only good things. BetDSI.com has a great football special. If you sign up today, you get 10 free bucks to try their service. Why not? 10 free bucks. BetDSI is also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's free money. You know, you got to jump on that. Great customer service. Fast and easy payment of winnings. Many, many football and basketball wagers to pick from. They also have, like, Ultimate Fighting. They even have, like, political ones, you know, Clinton versus Trump. And that's pretty crazy. I didn't know you could bet on those type of things, but I guess you can. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. So go to BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use the promotion code NFL10. Get your free wager and start winning today. So, that's a no-brainer. Speaking of winning, how about that for a segue? The New England Patriots do a lot of winning. And we're the better team in this game in Pittsburgh. The Steelers made it interesting. You know, I mean, trust me, I've done a lot of these Steelers pregame shows, and most of it all week was, boy, they don't really have a shot. And there was a chance, there was a point that they were in this game, you know, and early on it looked like, man, they're going to get dominated. But then they, you know, they owned the time possession. They had long drives. I thought the Steeler offensive line was exceptional in both phases, but especially from a pass rushing perspective. And I mentioned, you know, boy, Chandler Jones would be a nice, useful piece for the Pats. Not that their other guys are bad, but, I mean, he's a difference maker, and he's tearing it up for the Cardinals right now. They did get Jamie Collins back. I think that's big. I think he's a utter superstar. If you don't know who he is, I think he's one of the absolute best defensive players in the league. And Butler, the Butler did it. He did really well on Antonio Brown. And I don't want to say Brown's struggling, but and obviously the quarterback situation has something to do with it. But you watch him this year, and he's not as blatantly open as he has been in previous years, and I think that's a lot of defensive scheming, running against some, you know, difficult players, some difficult corners, guys like Maxwell playing their best against him last week. But Butler's been great. He doesn't get credit for being an all-around really, really good corner. And instead, he's just remembered for the fantastic Super Bowl play, but he's a really good player. The end of the game, though, was really impressive for the Pats. You know, and Landry Jones did his worst late in the game. He threw 50 times. I know a lot of it was when they were really, really in comeback mode, but with Le'Veon Bell out there, and of course they did everything they could to take the run away, having Landry Jones throw 50 times is questionable as we sit here on Monday at noon. Steelers' run defense remains a huge problem. Remember last week, Jay Ajayi tore them up, and maybe that doesn't look as fluky now considering what he did this week. But big holes for Blunt. I mean, usually he's banging and making yards on his own. He was just running free before first contact. I noticed that their tight ends, and Bennett didn't play as many snaps as this one as usual. But anyways, Gronk and Bennett, tight ends in general, and the wide receivers all blocked very well for New England in the run game as well. Of course, you got to mention Gronk. He was phenomenal again. He had some big plays. He wasn't featured. He didn't have, you know, a ton of targets and a ton of production, but he had the big one down the middle of the field that was kind of a backbreaker. I thought the Steelers' pass defense wasn't all that bad overall, but the middle of the field is still a real problem area, and that, and the linebacker safety play is suspect right now, especially with Shazier not close to 100%. Steelers only blitzed once in this game. Once. I mean, it's hard to imagine saying that. I mean, I know this year's version of the Steelers is different, but to say they only blitzed once. But Brady destroyed them last year again whenever they blitzed them heavy. I thought he played really well in this game, too. Didn't realize he didn't have to force things. Really, really accurate. And then the last thing was, you know, one team finished drives and scored touchdowns, and the other team didn't. And it's pretty obvious who's who. Steelers' red zone woes on offense are a problem, and I think they will be as long as Jones is there. And historically, as usual, the Patriots are very good red zone defense. I mean, that's a Belichick trait, that the quote, bend but don't break. You know, they'll give you three, they won't give you seven, and it's hard to keep up with Brady when you're only scoring threes. Plus, Steelers missed two field goals. Still, Patriots are really, really strong. The two teams I just mentioned, I think, on Sunday Night Football, I think are really strong. My power ranks are going to be really high on all those guys on Wednesday. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Game. Unfortunately, it's not a real good one. I don't know if you guys all got up early. It's not super early, but... and watched Rams-Giants. I've told you, I'm not big on the 9:30 games. First off, I like to sleep in. And watching four games in a row is a grind, as much as I love my job. But, I mean, game, a lot of games. Couple games, another game, back to back to back to back to back. You start to kind of lose your marbles a little bit. Anyways, I understand why they did it. Apparently, the atmosphere over there was phenomenal, and I've heard that that stadium is great, and it could be a recurring situation. This really wasn't very good football, to say the least. Where do we want to start here? I guess you start with Keenum. I don't know. He's going to be the starter. And I'm not the big hashtag guy, but I was creating this hashtag, gotta go Goff. It seems to me you gotta go Goff. I mean, they're going into their bye now. He threw four interceptions, you know, two of them in the end zone, to a team that only had three takeaways on the entire year. And, you know, DRC played really well. Landon Collins has played really well, and he's been great this year. He may be the next in line Cam Chancellor box safety, but I think he's more versatile than that. Remember, he was super highly touted coming out of Bama, and I thought he was going to be more one-dimensional than he is. His pick six crazy return run was unbelievable. But Fisher said something along the lines of, hey, I'm going to fire my wide receivers before I fire Keenum. But Keenum's so obviously limited Goff must not know. I mean, I have to defer to the coaching staff, even though how conservative Fisher is. But if Goff isn't ready, you can't put him out there. But you got 2 weeks more now. The reports have been favorable since camp. I think you got to go Goff. And I'm sure the Rams are saying, hey, we're not out of the – our season's not shot yet. You know, I mean, we can win this division. We can get to the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know that you really can. The Rams didn't score a point on their final 10 drives. Didn't score 1 point. 10 possessions in a row. They mentioned the wide receiver conundrum. Austin fumbled twice, and he was targeted on 3 of Keenum's 4 interceptions. Doesn't bode so well for Mr. Austin. That's a pretty brutal game. Makes you think that when the head coach calls you out after the game and doesn't call out the head coach, that Austin was doing things wrong more so than Keenum was doing things wrong. I can buy that. I still think hashtag gotta go Goff. Rams are a highly penalized team coming into this game. They kept that up. Favorably, though, the Giants did get some pass rush finally, you know, consistently. And the game just ended such a perfect way. It was Keenum threw this pass that looked like a punt into the corner of the end zone with obvious miscommunication, and DRC basically could have called a fair catch. He looked like a center fielder fielding a ball with no one around him, and that was it. It was like, okay, well, all right, yeah, there you have it. Giants get a win, much-needed win. I can't say I'm really high on either of these teams. So, and my power ranks will reflect it. On Friday, I mentioned that the NFL Network, at 8 o'clock on Friday, they were doing their top 10 QBs of all time. And I wanted to talk with you about them because I'm often asked that question. And on Friday, I kind of thought, man, I'm going to tear this list up. You know, that they're going to screw it up. They did pretty darn well. Yeah, I really wouldn't change much. And these are the top names of guys that didn't make the top 10, which is real easy to say, how could he not be a top 10 guy? Until you start rattling off the top 10 and you're like, well, who do you pull out? Fouts, Tarkington, Breeze, Moon, Kelly, Aaron Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Aikman. I think Aikman's a pretty strong one. Bradshaw. Bradshaw to me was, if they had a list of 11, he probably should have been 11th. Namath, Kurt Warner, and a lot of old dudes. You know, a lot of pre-70s guy. There was only, quote, two old dudes on this list. And that was Otto Graham and Johnny Unitas. So, I can't argue with that. I mean, I think this position has evolved so much, it's really hard to compare those guys, Y.A. Tittle, to, you know, Peyton Manning. But would you go Bradshaw or Steve Young at the 10 spot? I had no problem with Young. Staubach at 9, I'm cool with that. Favre at 8. Marino at 7, I would have him higher. Not by leaps and bounds, but I would have him higher. Elway at 6, I might have Elway 1. I would definitely have Elway higher. He would be in my top 2. Graham at 5. I don't know how I can complain about that. Unitas at 4. I don't know how you complain about that. Peyton Manning at 3 is a smidge high for me. I think he's more 6. Brady at 2. Yeah, I get it. I'd rather have Elway, though. I'm sorry. I'd rather have Elway than Tom Brady. I just would. And Joe at 1. Yeah, I mean, that's a good list. That's a really good list. I thought I'd have more problems with it. I don't. So I told you, I promised we would talk about that today. Let me know your thoughts. I just think, I mean, if you changed Marino and Manning's career in terms of weapons and more importantly, how the game's played, I think Marino would own every record in the book. But anyways, two other little topics, the kind of thing we usually wait till later in the week about. But there's two potential Hall of Fame exceptional players of this generation, left tackles, that apparently could be on the trading block. It came out today that the Niners are going to listen to talks for Joe Staley. And it's been kind of public knowledge that Joe Thomas could probably be had from the Browns from the right price, as they're still in the midst of their crazy fire sale. Makes sense. And both should probably trade these guys if you can get decent feedback. I would pay much more for Thomas than I would Joe Staley. But I think both could really help teams out. And the two teams that really jumped to mind are Minnesota. And we probably should talk Minnesota Eagles tomorrow. But their line is brutal. I know they've already made trades. They don't have as much in their pocket to spend to go get one of these guys. But you insert Joe Staley or Joe Thomas into that lineup now. Now you're talking. And a guy like Thomas could be a five-year starter for you. And the Seahawks. Seahawks offensive line needs a lot of work, too. Needs a lot of work. Also, it would be a Patriots-type move. You know, I'm only thinking of top 10-type teams, contenders. They've had tackle issues. I could see them saying, yeah, we'll take Joe Thomas off your hands. Or, yeah, come here, Mr. Staley. We'll plug you in at left tackle for a while and see how that goes. Or bump you to the right side or whatever. But quality, you know, guys that would probably bust their butts to get to the Super Bowl at the, quote, twilight or, you know, second half of their career. I'm not saying give up first-round picks for them, but, man, Joe Thomas, I'd take Joe Thomas for a pretty good buck. I'd give up quite a bit for him. All right, anyways, tomorrow we will get back to breaking down more games. You guys have a great one, and we can watch the Monday Nighter tonight and check out the rest of the Locked On Network.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.